Now, turn in your Bible once again to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice carefully verse 15. This is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation, worthy to be received, believed, counted upon. You can count this down, write it down as a certain sure promise that Christ Jesus came. And He came into this world to save. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to save sinners. And then Paul said, certainly, I am the chief. I am the chief sinner before God Almighty. Now, Martin Luther called this verse a condensed version of the Bible. The Bible in one verse. It is a glorious gospel of the blessed God that magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ and His great mercy, His great salvation that He abundantly sheds upon His people. Notice verse 14. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 13, He said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, one who caused injury, injurious, but I obtained mercy. He didn't earn it. Mercy is a gift of God. You can't merit mercy. Merited mercy is no mercy at all. None at all. Salvation is for sinners. Paul had experienced this saving mercy by God's grace. And he describes what he was by nature in verse 13, a blasphemer, a persecutor. And then he declares unto us what God revealed and gave him by His grace. By His sovereign grace. Grace alone. I never weary of hearing of that glorious truth, grace. You ever notice how similar grace and Christ? Similar. When you have grace, you have Christ. When you have Christ, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be justified and saved by God's grace. Free, sovereign, eternal, immutable, calling grace, electing grace, saving grace, fetching grace, redeeming grace. Salvation's all by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And then he said, this is a faithful gospel. Now here's my first point. This is a faithful saying. We see the sureness and certainty of the gospel. The certainty of the gospel. This is faithful. This is faithful. You know why? It's based upon the faithfulness of God. It's based upon the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my faithfulness. His faithfulness. His faithfulness to honor the law of God as the God-man mediator. His faithfulness to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father. This is a faithful saying. You see what it says right there? The certainty and sureness of this gospel. The gospel we have is yes and amen and in Christ. It's not maybe. It's not if. It's not perhaps. Certain and sure. It's laid upon a sure foundation, is it not? The sure foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God said, I lay in Zion for a foundation. Tried stone. Precious cornerstone. He that believes on that foundation shall never make haste, never be forced off, never be ashamed or confounded world without end. This is a faithful saying. This gospel is faithful to honor God's law. The Lord Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor the law of God. He honored every picture and satisfied every picture and type in the Old Testament. He is that atonement on that Day of Atonement. He is that Passover lamb. He is that smitten rock. He is that brazen serpent lifted up. This gospel is faithful to all the promises of God's Word. Our Lord Jesus, in coming and dying as our substitute, has fulfilled all that was written of Him. He died for our sins according to what? According to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures, fulfilling all the decree and purpose of God. You see, this is God's Lamb, provided of God. And this Lamb is God Himself. You remember what He told, what Abraham told Isaac? My son, God will provide Himself a Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. God Himself provided the sacrifice for Himself, and He provided Himself as a sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God. This gospel is faithful to those who believe it. It'll never fail. The gospel will never fail you. Never fail you. This gospel is faithful to those who believe. Though we often fail, He never fails. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 42, one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. This is a faithful gospel. It will never fail us. Faithful to honor God's law. Faithful to honor every promise of God. Faithful to us based upon the faithfulness of Christ. Isaiah 42. Look at verse 4. Isaiah 42, 4. He shall not fail. Who's he talking about? Look at verse 1. Behold my elect. Behold my servant. Whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He is the elect. Whatever election is, it's in Christ. He is the elect. We're chosen in Him. And then it says in verse 4, He shall not fail. He can't fail because He's God. He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged till He has set judgment, righteousness in the earth. And we'll wait. We'll wait for His law. We'll wait for His gospel. His promises are worth waiting on. You see, it's a faithful promise. I like the last words of men. The last words of David. You remember what they were? God had made a covenant, ordered in all things, and it's sure. This is all my hope and all my salvation. How about the last words of Joshua? Do you remember his last words? Recorded in Joshua 23. He said, of all that God had promised, these are his last dying words, of all that God had promised, not one thing had failed. You see, this is a faithful gospel. Faithful to God, faithful to the Word, faithful to the law, faithful to those who believe and look to Christ. Faithful in all things, He cannot fail. That gives me a good hope, knowing that my salvation is not based upon me, Lonnie, is based upon Him, upon His faithfulness alone. And then it says, talking about the sureness of the gospel. It's faithful, and then it says here it's worthy. This is a worthy gospel. Worthy of all acceptation. The gospel truth is worthy to be received, believed, and loved by all. It's entirely true and absolutely necessary to the salvation of our soul. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. If we're going to be saved, we must be saved by Christ. He alone justifies the ungodly. This gospel, I like this, this gospel meets all my need. I have a lot of need. I have need of pardon. I have need of redemption. I have need of a new nature to worship God and love God and believe God. None of those things I can produce. But the promise of the gospel is that God shall supply all our need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. All I need, it's according to His mercy, glory, and grace in Christ Jesus. This gospel meets all my need. This gospel is worthy to believe, to be believed, and worthy to be preached. We have a good gospel to preach. Our Lord commanded His apostles and commanded His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul, when he writes to the Romans in that first chapter, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, as much as in me is, verse 15, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. also. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. In that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed, how He can be just and justify the ungodly, not compromise His holy character. It's a gospel worthy to be believed and worthy to be preached. It's the blessed gospel of the glory of God that shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my first point is this, the certainty of the gospel. The sureness of the gospel. I like things that are certain and sure, don't you? You remember the verse over here? Turn over to, is it 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You see that? The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from any other gospel than the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other gospel is iniquity. That's right. It's iniquity. There's just one way, one gospel. Anything else doesn't glorify God, does it? It's not true to the Word of God. It's another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus that Paul warned about. Be careful. There's counterfeits out there. So, the sureness and certainty of the gospel. Second point is this. Back to the text. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful, sure gospel, worthy of all acceptation, worthy to be heard, worthy to be believed, worthy to be preached. The second point is this, the person of the gospel. Salvation's in a person. My pastor preached that for over 50 years. Salvation is not you being in this church, that church, or any other church. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is in Christ, in His blessed person. This is a faithful saying, worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came. He's all our hope. He's all our salvation. You remember what we read? Turn back to the first verse in this chapter. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the two words, which is, they're italicized. That means they've been added by the translators. So we can read it, God our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. That sums it up. Jesus Christ came to save. He's our hope. He's our hope. He is the Christ of God. You see that? He is the Christ of God. That is, He is the anointed. He is the anointed Messiah. He is the Messiah. We don't look for another. There's not another going to come. He is God's Messiah. He said in Isaiah 61 and again in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to set at liberty those who are captive. He has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He is the anointed. We don't look for another. He's it. He's God's Christ. The person who came to ransom and to rescue us is none other than God Himself, God incarnate, God in human flesh. And all that He did to accomplish our salvation as a God-man, He's blessed of God in all of His office. Prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. He's anointed. You know, no one in the Old Testament held all three of those offices. Aaron was a priest. David was a king. Samuel was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. But no one held all three of those offices. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all. Prophet, priest, and king. He's prophet. How are we going to hear from God? Well, He represents God to us. He reveals the will of God to us. And He is our priest. How are we going to approach God? You go back and look at the days of Moses, how they approached God. Boy, they better come by Aaron. Nadab and Abihu, they thought they'd come another way, offered strange fire. You know the story there. God killed both those boys. We must come by the designated anointed priest, and that's pictured in Aaron, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the priest of God that represents us before God. And He's our King to rule and reign over us. Aren't you glad we've got a King? He is my King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We own Him as such. We worship Him as such. The wise men came on that day when the body was birthed. The Lord Jesus, God incarnate. And the wise men said, "Where is He that born King?" He was King when He got here. He's not King by something we do. He is Lord by the decree of God Almighty. He's anointed of God. God said in Psalm 2, "I've set my King on my holy hill Zion." He's God's Christ. Not only that, you see the person of the gospel. He's the Christ of God. And then it says there, He's Jesus. Jesus. Now, we usually qualify this word because there's so many folks that go around using His word, using His name in I think a demeaning way. I always refer to Him as the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus. But the Scripture here often call His name, Matthew 1:21, call His name Jesus, Savior. You know, He is exactly what He's called. He is the Savior of His people. He is the Savior of sinners. And that's what His name means. He is. He is the Savior of His body. He is the Savior of His people. He is what He's called. God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made Him both Lord and Christ. He is both God to satisfy and man to suffer in my room and in my stead. One blessed person, the God-man mediator. One God, one mediator between God and men. God and men now, not mankind. God and men, and that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of His people. This is the person of the gospel. This is the very one, it says here, who came. He came. In the fullness of time, He was a Lamb set forth before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, decreed of God, but Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But in time, what happened? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under that very law. This is the one who came. Emmanuel, call His name Emmanuel, God with us. He came to save His people. God sent forth His Son. He didn't come unsent. He didn't come uncommissioned. He had the Father's authority. He said and prayed in John 17, "The Father had given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given me." He didn't come unsent, uncommissioned. He, God's Christ, God's Lamb, God's sacrifice, God's priest for us. Here in His love, not that we love God, but He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. He had God's authority. He had God's approval. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He had God's appointing. He's appointed of God as a sacrifice for our sin. That's the person of the gospel. You see the certainty of it? Faithful saying. The person of it? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is all our hope. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we stand complete in Christ. That's my standing. In Christ, complete. Nothing lacking. Third point is this. Here we see the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel. Chiefly, the glory of God involved here. The glory of God. It's the blessed gospel of the glory of God. But in saving sinners, who gets the glory? Well, God's done all He can do. Now it's up to you. Well, who gets the glory in that scheme? Well, the creature does. God's done all He can do. Now it's up to you. Well, you're going to pat yourself on the back. But salvation's not left in my hand. Salvation's always determined, dependent, and accomplished fully by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You see that? I tell you, He came to save sinners in such a way that gives Him all the honor and glory in doing so. God forbid I should glory save in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is determined to get all the honor and glory. He made unto us, but of Him are you in Christ, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let's turn and read that. Where's that at? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over and read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at this verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. You got it? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now look at this carefully. But of Him are you in Christ. How did you get in Christ? It's of Him. He did it. He chose me unconditionally in Christ. Christ Jesus. Who of God, it's of God, He is made to me. He's my wisdom. He's all my wisdom before God. He is my very righteousness before God. A justifying righteousness we have before God. He is my sanctification. He is my holiness before God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is my deliverance from sin. That, look at verse 31, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God's determined to save sinners and do it in such a way that He's going to honor and glorify Himself in all that He does. You see, He came to save. Look what it says there back of the text. 1 Timothy 1:15. He came to save. He came to save. There's not a word in the text or in the entire Bible about Jesus coming to help sinners save themselves. Not at all. That's a myth. We're lost. Who's lost here? We're lost. And Adam all died. He must find us. He's a good shepherd that goes out and finds that lost sheep and brings it home. We're dead in sin. He must quicken us together with Christ. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. We're guilty. He must justify us. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Nor does this text teach us that He died or came, now watch this, to put us in a savable state or to make salvation a possibility. Did He just make salvation a possibility? Or did He, the text says He came into the world to make salvation a possibility. That's not what it says. It says here He came to save. He came to save. He didn't come to put us in a savable state, nor to make salvation a possibility, my friend. When He shed His precious blood, dying in our place as a sinner substitute, those for whom He died must be saved from all their sin. He accomplished salvation by Himself with the sacrifice of Himself. He obtained for us eternal redemption. He didn't fail when He died. His death's not a defeat, it's victory. Victory over sin. He said at Calvary's tree, it is finished. He was manifested to take away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and in Him is no sin. He got the job done, is what I'm saying. Effectual substitute. What does that mean? It means He got the job done. It means He came, took my place, in my room and in my stead, lived a life I couldn't live, honored God's law that I couldn't, and in His death He died to put away my sin, satisfying not only the precept of the law in His life, but the penalty of that law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He said at Calvary's tree, it's finished. It is finished. Complete. It's done. It's over. Salvation certain and sure in Christ Jesus. So much so, He said, that all that the Father hath given me, they'll come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will of Him that sent me, that all that the Father hath given me, I lose nothing. Nothing. Raise it up again at the last day. That's good news. He can't fail. He can't fail. So He came to save. Now, the second point under this third point, the purpose of the gospel to save, do it in such a way that honors God's justice and His holiness. But it says here that He came to save. Whom did He come to save? What does it say there? Sinners. Sinners. Can you identify with that word? Can you take your place before God as a guilty, vile, wretched sinner, having sinned against God and come short of the glory of God? I'm born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And that gives this old boy hope. Because the Scriptures teach in Romans 5 verse 6 that Christ Jesus died for, He died for ungodly. The ungodly. Oh, it's a faithful gospel. Worthy of acceptation by all. Christ came to save sinners. Whom did He come to save? You remember our reading of Matthew 9? Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Well, the well don't need a doctor. Those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners! To repentance. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The chief... Now, get a hold of this. He's our shepherd. He's called in Scripture the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Here's the chief Savior, the chief shepherd who came to save the chief of... What does that say there? He came to save the chief sinner. I reckon He got it done, didn't He? Amen. He got it done. The chief of sinners, the chief Savior came to save the chief of sinners. He shed real blood to put away real sin, and those for whom He died cannot be lost. They're justified by His blood. It says in Acts 20:28, God bought us with His own blood. He purchased me with His blood. I'm His. He bought me. Lastly, the conclusion of this message found in this verse. He came to save sinners of whom I am chief. Here's three obvious conclusions. Three obvious conclusions. Number one, sin is very difficult to put away. The blood sacrifice of animals on Jewish altars that flowed for thousands of years could not put away sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Sin is so difficult to put away that God Himself had to provide Himself as a sacrifice to put away sin. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Let us be careful to give Him all the honor and glory, both now and forever. And say, as Paul writes here in verse 17 of our text. Look at verse 17. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You say amen to that? To Him be the glory both now and forever. David expressed it this way, Lord, not unto us. In Psalm 115, not unto us, but unto Thy name do we give glory for Thy mercy and Thy truth's sake. Sin is difficult to put away. Number two, if Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, depend upon it, He got the job done. The price He paid is enough to redeem. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, the silver and gold, our vain conversation on work, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood He shed is enough to cleanse us from almost all my sin. Thank God it doesn't say that. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Past, present, and sin to come. All gone. Complete redemption in Christ. The blood He paid, the price He paid is enough to redeem. The blood He shed is enough to cleanse. Never despair. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, upon His merits. Never despair of God saving you. If God can save me by His glorious grace, nothing can hinder him from saving others. If he can save me, surely he can save you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and save you and keep you. The question of the moment is this: are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Well, I used to be. You've got big trouble. No, that's what I am. That's what I am. Salvation, you see, this is a sinner's gospel. Salvation's for sinners. Salvation's for the guilty. Salvation's for the ungodly. Are you a sinner, guilty, condemned, and dead in sin? He came to save such as you are. There's always hope for sinners. If I can ever find somebody that's lost, lost. The problem is nobody's lost. Nobody's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Everybody's okay. That's what they tell me. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all going to hell. But if I could ever find somebody who's lost, who is guilty, who is needy, our Lord said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Him. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. I was preaching from this morning. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Acts 10, 42. This is Peter in the house of Cornelius preaching the gospel to him. And he commanded us, Acts 10, 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify. It was he who was ordained of God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, through his blood, through his sacrifice, for his name's sake, whoever it is, Jew, Gentile, young, old, bond, free, black, white, young, old, male, female, whoever it is that believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sin. My message is look to Christ. He's the sufficient, able Savior. He came to seek and to save sinners. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. Be it known unto you, verse 38. Therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. It's always through Christ, through His sacrifice, through His blood. By Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. Well, look back to the text and I'll quit. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. Now, I want you to think about this all week long. I want you to take this verse and write it down and look at it all week long. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm the chief one. I am. Make that to your person. I am the chief sinner who needs salvation, who needs mercy in Christ Jesus.